540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Republican Congressman Mike Johnson of Louisiana has been elected House Speaker with 220 votes. CBS's Robert Costa.
Speaker Johnson's already issuing his own letters about his agenda in terms of how he wants to handle appropriations.
Johnson was the fourth nominee to replace Kevin McCarthy in the last 3 weeks and was quickly sworn in. He says he plans to get right to work.
The first bill that I'm going to bring to this floor in just a little while will be in support of our dear friend Israel, and we're overdue in getting that done.
President Biden talked about the war in the Middle East today and says that conflict will likely reshape the region.
When this crisis is over, there has to be a vision of what comes next. And in our view, it has to be a two-state solution.
Mr. Biden's hosting Australia's prime minister today at the White House. The leaders are working on economic development partnerships to bolster Pacific Island nations. CBS News Special Report. I'm Monica Ricks.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Part of Interstate 90 in Wisconsin might be named after the state's Native American code talkers. There's a bill in the legislature to dedicate the stretch of freeway between La Crosse and Toma, the Ho-Chunk World War II Code Talkers Memorial Highway. Code talkers used their tribal languages for secret communication to help the U.S. Army win World Wars I and II. The state of Wisconsin is joining a federal lawsuit against the social media company Meta. 32 other states are part of the suit. It accuses Meta of knowingly designing and launching addictive features on Instagram and Facebook, leading to a mental health crisis for young people across the nation. The coalition also says it's looking into the social media app TikTok for similar reasons. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Two people were killed in a crash this morning in Dodge County when a truck traveling in the wrong direction collided with their vehicle. The sheriff's office responded to reports of the truck heading south in the northbound lanes of 151 in Chester. The box truck crashed head-on into a Kia, which was then struck by a third vehicle. The 25-year-old male driver of the Kia and the 28-year-old female passenger were pronounced dead at the scene. The truck was being driven by a 69-year-old man from Pennsylvania. A Franklin meat packer is laying off over 100 employees. Strauss Brands is discontinuing veal and lamb production at its plant, leading to the layoff of 127 employees. The company will maintain grass-fed beef production at its Franklin location on South 60th. Strauss Brands had previously fought and lost a battle to increase production in Franklin. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Hi. Packers getting ready for the Vikings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the Minnesota Vikings this Sunday at noon at Lambeau Field. At 2-4, are the Packers now just looking to help their younger players? Rookie tight end Tucker Kraft.
Me, as a rookie coming in here, playing considerable amount of reps, you know, every week my reps increase. I'm told you're not a rookie. You have a responsibility on the field.
College football, the Badgers hope to hand the Ohio State Buckeyes a loss this Saturday. Wisconsin head coach Luke Fickell says it's going to take discipline to beat the number 3 ranked Buckeyes.
Discipline is a gift, and so everything that we do within the program has to do with discipline. So it's not something that's just taught. You know, over time, continues to grow. It's a skill.
NBA, the Bucks host the 76ers tomorrow night at 6:30. It's the season opener for both teams. Giannis asks, is signing his contract extension lifted the mood around the place?
It was very helpful. The Bucks are great. How the Bucks suck. That's what you guys talk about, you know.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight. Otherwise, cloudy skies. Lows level off around 59. Southerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow. Highs around 66. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 61 degrees.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Second hour, Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. Well, Donald Trump, you knew he would do it, just now violated two gag orders and one condition of release. One of the gag orders had been suspended pending his appeal. Let's get into it and let me tell you what the consequence was. Trump attacked the plea deals in Atlanta in the Fannie Willis case, that Jenna Ellis, Sidney Powell, Ken Chesbro pled guilty. And he also attacked Mark Meadows for cooperating with Jack Smith. And here's what he said. And this is the part you can print. They are weaklings and cowards and so bad for the future of our nation. Now, when you call witnesses weaklings and cowards and bad for our nation, that's an attack on them. There was a gag order interposed by the judge in Washington, D.C., which she stayed, which means that she made it non-operative for a brief period of time while he appealed it. So the fact is that attacking a witness like that, can that hurt you if the gag order has been temporarily stayed? Well, yes, it can, because there is a condition of pretrial release. The presumption is that you're going to go to jail once you're charged. That's the presumption. But they give bail in some cases, in this case, and they let you go pending the trial, unless, say, you're a really vicious, violent person and they're afraid you're going to flee and kill five other people, then they're not going to let you go. But in this case, in a white collar crime type deal, they let you go, but you have to sign a thing called pretrial release conditions and agree to follow them and pay the bail if there's any bail. Now, he signed that form in August, apparently. And he acknowledged, quote, that it would be a crime to intimidate or attempt to intimidate a witness, a juror, an informant, or an officer of the court. Now, that doesn't apply to a gag. That's not just a gag order. That's a crime. It is a crime. It's a felony to intimidate a witness. In Milwaukee County, and this is very, very sad, but we have great prosecutors in Milwaukee County. One of the great DAs in the country, John Chisholm, great DA. But what happens is with a lot of these cases, I shouldn't say a lot, with many of these cases, you will have witnesses threatened, in some cases killed, in some cases their families threatened, and they don't show up. This is very dangerous. Well, what Donald Trump is doing, for instance, with yesterday, with Michael Cohen in New York, said that this will turn out very bad for him. That's a mafia-type threat. Sure, nice house you have. Hope nothing happens to it. Sure, nice family you have. Hope nothing happens to them. That is a threat. You don't can't get away by saying that's an oblique statement. That's a threat. That's what he said about Michael Cohen yesterday. Well, here now he says that Jenna Ellis, now they're in Atlanta, I know, not in Washington, but Jenna Ellis, Ken Chesbrough, Sidney Powell, and Mark Meadows, who is covered in Washington, quote, they are weaklings and cowards and so bad for the future of our nation. That's a threat. Now, here he always comes right to the line. Then he goes over it, but he goes over it just by a little bit. And he will say that, well, that's not what he meant. And a lot of these prosecutors have to decide. They've never had a defendant like this, because here's what I mean by that. If the average guy did this, if the drug dealer or the murderer did this, they'd be in jail right away. There'd be no question. That'd be it. But when you have a guy who's running for president with Secret Service protection, and he goes up to the line and then he goes over it to dare the judge, at what point do you invest more prosecutorial resources in prosecuting that and bringing him in and so forth? What he did in New York was worse. And this just happened today, and it just happened before I went on the air at 2 p.m. Central. So if there's been a development while I'm on the air, obviously I haven't been able to track that. But what happened just before I went on the air is this. He was in the court in New York, and he's really getting angry at Michael Cohen, who is testifying against him. Michael Cohen said that basically we pulled the numbers for the valuations out of thin air because Trump said, make them hit this number. And so we just plugged that number in. And in a previous testimony in this case, there was an appraiser on there. Let's say his name is John Jones. That was not his name, but that's, you know, John Jones. They go, all right, Mr. Jones, here's your name on an appraisal for this property. Did you appraise that property? No, I didn't. Plus, your name, is it? Well, yeah, somebody put it there. I didn't do the work. I didn't do it. I didn't know anything about this. That is real fraud. I mean, that's document fraud in furtherance of a financial fraud. And so Trump's having a bad couple of days. Trump goes out in the hallway and they ask him about Cohen. And of course, he threatens Cohen. But then he said he attacks the law clerk who he'd been told not to. Remember, he put her picture up. He put her picture up on True Social and said that she was basically Schumer's, I mean, mistress is a strong word, but Schumer's love interest. And that she was partisan and she was cooking the whole thing for him. Let me tell you something. There are two kinds of law clerks. I don't know which kind she is. I was the law clerk to the chief judge of the Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit in Chicago. That meant I was a recent law grad, and he would come in and he'd say, all right, Matt, this case, I want it to come out this way, write the draft of the opinion. I'd do it. And then he'd do what he wanted with it. And, you know, greatest job in the world. Really greatest job in the world. There's another kind of law clerk. They use that generally. That's, you know, sort of keeps track of the cases, you know, calls the lawyers to tell them there's been a delay in the case. You know, if they want to communicate with the judge, they have to hand it to him or her first, and then she passes it on up, blah, blah, blah. I think that's what the kind of law clerk they're talking about here. A ministerial position. She has no influence on anything, and she doesn't know Schumer. She went to a fundraiser for Schumer, had her picture taken with him and other people. That's how Trump lies about this. I don't know at all her personal circumstances. But he puts it on Truth Social and says that she is doing this to him. Now, this is a woman. I don't know if she's a single woman or married woman. Takes the subway home at night in the dark. And this guy puts it out on Truth Social with 56 million people or whatever. That is an invitation to violence, quite frankly. And the judge ordered him down and said, take it down. And if you do it again, I'm going to do this. You know what Trump did? He did take it down, but he kept it up on his website for another 17 days. That's what he did. That is an absolute contempt. And then he said, I overlooked it. If he were the average guy, he'd be in jail. You know, he has Secret Service protection. So what do you do with them in jail? Blah, blah, blah. Judge fines him $5,000. Then he goes out in the hallway just now. And they go, well, what about it? And he says, that clerk, the one he was told not to attack, she's sitting right next to the judge, suspiciously, right next to the judge. He's biased, and I think she's more biased than he is. That's what she said. This is a good judge, Erdogan. He calls Trump into court, orders him on the stand. You can do that in a civil case. You can't do that in a criminal case. In a civil case, you can. You say, get up there on that stand. Swear him in. He has to say under oath he'll tell the truth. You know what Trump said? Judge says, who are you talking about? I swear to God. Trump said, well, Your Honor, you know, I was talking about you and about Michael Cohen, because he was sitting right next to you. He was lying. The law clerk was sitting right next to the judge. Michael Cohen was in the witness chair just beyond that. So you know what the judge said? Trump got off. Trump said, the witness's testimony is not credible. That is legalese for he was lying. When you say someone is credible, he's a lying sack. That's what he said. And he fined him $10,000 for once again attacking the clerk right in front of the press when he'd been told not to. And you know the sad, stupid thing about this? I think that Trump doesn't think twice about the clerk or anybody else. He shoots his mouth off. He attacks anybody he thinks is vulnerable to hurt them, injure them, to get a laugh out of his crowd, and then he doubles down on it. That's what I think happened to him. Now, what do you do with this? You have him calling Meadows weak and cowardly. You're calling Jenna Ellis weak and cowardly. You're calling Jim Chesbro, all these people, Sidney Powell. You in New York, you're to the judge's face, you're blatantly lying, saying I was talking about Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen wasn't any, plus he's not supposed to be attacking witnesses either, by the way. Michael Cohen was not sitting next to the judge. The clerk was sitting next to the judge. The judge says, I think you're lying. Here's what I think has got to happen. This guy continues to press and to probe and to lie, and he will do that to the end of time. I think the next time any one of these judges, either Tanya Chutkan in Washington, Erdogan in New York, or you know the judge with Fannie Willis's case, if he does it again, now this would be the third, fourth time, does it all the time. He is deliberately in contempt of the court. I would order him to jail for 10 days, 10 days. If he refused to report to jail and he goes out on the campaign trail, issue it as a bench warrant. That is a requirement that he be arrested. There are a lot of cops in the red states who won't arrest him, I know. But if he goes to New York, if he goes to Milwaukee, he goes to people where people are on the up and up, they will arrest him and he'll be arrested or he'll have to stay out of those states. I don't know what else to do with this guy. He will continue to lie about it and to attack witnesses, and one of them is going to get killed. We're going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
The Shaw, WAUK. Get a family-supporting job in the water industry with great pay. There's a career fair October 26th from 3 until 6 p.m. at Mitchell Street Arts in Milwaukee. For details, go to onewateourwater.com. That's onewateourwater.com.
Timeout!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
This is the Shaw WAUK.
I'm fixing a hole where the rain. Welcome back to Mathlin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Joe of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Joe?
I wanted to go back to our dear new speaker that we have, Mr. Johnson, also known as election denier, Mr. Johnson. when talking, you are so good at getting a particular phrase that sums things up. And you had said, how far does the claw of Trump extend? And I would urge you to just say, Trump's claw, how far does Trump's claws extend? And I would argue that Trump's claw in this situation goes right up the back of the election denier, Mark Johnson, and he is now Trump's puppet. It is Trump's house now. He will decide what he wants. He will be communicated to Johnson, and Johnson will work diligently in order to make that happen. A man who went to the effort of organizing, the chief architect of organizing the opposition to our last election, is just going to be, he's going to be putty right in Trump's hands. This is now Trump's house. So if we're thinking about what's going to be happening, what would Trump want? And that's what's going to happen. I don't think there's going to be a bill that takes the funding for both Ukraine and Israel at the same time. That's going to be separated, and there's going to be funding for Ukraine is going to come to a crashing halt under this man. And I urge everyone to sort of think about how this may play out. This guy was adamant about trying to monkey with the election the last time. If you go back and you remember the footage, Matt, remember the footage from the January 6th hearings, and there's a lot of behind-the-scenes footage of Pelosi and Schumer and other people within the House and the Senate working diligently to keep the gears of government going, despite this coup going on in the building in which they work. They were working hard to make sure that the election continues, that it's wound up that night, and that everybody came back and that they voted. All right, now imagine Mr. Johnson in that circumstance. Is he going to come back and make sure that the voting happens? I doubt it. I doubt it very much. And I think we are in a world of hurt. And I hate to be kind of negative, but doesn't look too good to me. I've seen plenty of slick guys like this before, all smiles as you go down. So anyway, Matt, that's my 2 cents.
Yeah, I think you're right on the money. And that's a particularly compelling analogy you drew, because back during January 6th, and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, remember the Senate, they were going to vote, the House and the Senate were going to vote on whether to accept the electoral count from the various states. And there were 50 of them, the 50 states. They were all certified and signed by the governors and the secretaries of state. And most of them were Republicans, because remember, there are 50 states, but a majority of the states have Republican governors. And yet everybody certified it. This is a no-brainer. Pence was a ceremonial figure, literally. And yet more than 100 Republicans, about 145 Republicans in the House, voted not to accept them, to send them back to the states under the independent legislature theory, where they would have then voted for Trump and made him president. Joe's point is a good one. If Mike Johnson is the speaker, as it, I assume he'll survive and be the speaker back next of January of 2025, and there's an insurrection, or even if there is an insurrection, what do you think he'll do if Trump loses by another 7, 8, 9 million popular vote, and Joe Biden beats him in the swing states? And you know, these victories in the swing states are not large victories. You know, they're 10,000 votes, 20,000 votes. If he simply announces, I personally, as speaker, support returning this to the states, and let's take a vote now, and they have a majority in the House, what do you think is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen? Constitutional crisis. Now, if we had a regular Supreme Court, what would happen is the Supreme Court would overrule the Congress. But this, the six tarantulas will not overrule the Congress. They'll say, well, it's separation of powers, which is false. And then that is what. And so I'm going to read again. I got to read this one more time. This is very chilling. This is a guy named Ernst Rudolf Huber, and he was writing about the elections in 1932 in Berlin, well, actually throughout Germany. Here's what he said. The parliamentary battle of the NSDAP, that's the Nazi party, had the single purpose of destroying the parliamentary system from within, through its own methods. It was necessary, above all, to make formal use of the possibilities of the party-state system, but to refuse real cooperation, and thereby to render the parliamentary system, which is by nature dependent upon the responsible cooperation of the opposition, incapable of action. And the title of this particular work that he wrote is How the Nazi Party Took Power in Germany. You know, fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. We have a slick talking speaker now. One of the reasons he got elected is he's smooth. There are not enough O's in smooth. He is very smooth, and he salts it with various biblical references and so forth. And he compliments Hakeem Jeffries, and he compliments Lee, the Congresswoman Lee on our side, compliments Kevin McCarthy. And we want to work together. That's what they said in Berlin in 1932. We want to work together. But aid to Israel will pass, so that's extremely important. But if Ukraine is not added to that, he may not even put that on the floor because he's the speaker. He may not even put it on the floor because if it goes on the floor, it'll get 350 votes. Virtually all the Democrats will vote for it and another 100, 150 Republicans will vote for it. Why are we in a government, putting up with a government where 350 congressmen out of 435 want something, but they can't even discuss it? And why in the Senate do we have one Senator Tuberville who's already said he's a white supremacist? He came out and said it. I'm not calling him that. He said it. Not letting admirals and generals be appointed, and nobody's doing anything about it. And why in the Senate do we have a circumstance where Rand Paul, who's a very sick individual, won't let us confirm an ambassador to Israel or Egypt right now? And didn't let us do an ambassador to Niger, and they had an Islamic takeover and are now pro-Russian. Is this democracy? In a sense, yeah, it's a democratic forum, but like that party in Germany in 1932, they're making use of the rules, the parliamentary rules of democracy, to kill democracy. And this is happening not only in your lifetime, but on your watch. It's happening on your watch. It's happening right now. Now, there is part of me, I've seen slippery little, brown nosers like this Johnson before. Occasionally they grow a spine. Maybe he has some kind of worldview. He did speak harshly about communist Russia back in the day, the Stalinist days. Maybe he'll stand up to them in Ukraine, maybe he won't. But maybe he won't put in a budget unless we agree to take a haircut that Biden and McCarthy didn't agree to. Pay attention as we go forward in the next couple of weeks, because it's going to be very, very important. We're going to break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
And it really doesn't matter if I'm wrong, I'm right, where I belong, I'm right, where I belong.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Another day, another cyber attack in Wisconsin. This time, the Rock County Administrative Offices in Janesville says it was hit. The county's administrator says a criminal actor hacked the county's network database, encrypted some files, and demanded almost $2 million to put everything back the way it was. The headquarters of Quick Trip and American Family Insurance were also recently hacked. There's a new member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Governor Evers is tapping longtime Eau Claire City employee Carrie Ripel. She served in the city clerk and human resources offices since 2011. Ripel says she'll be able to provide an expert's opinion in the role. She'll keep her job in Eau Claire while making regular trips to Madison. Her appointment is subject to state Senate approval. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles, a man with no ties to the community. That's what Germantown police are saying about the man that shot at officers and was killed Monday night. Investigators say the man, not named, tried to enter a locked Kennedy Middle School. Witnesses say he took handicapped parking signs and used them to prop up a bike rack against the building. When police arrived, the man climbed onto the roof and shot at them. The involved officers are on leave. The Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office is investigating a video showing a deputy using force on a teenager at the zoo. Deputies were initially called to the report of a fight but found nothing. When they approached a car containing a 17-year-old passenger and her 25-year-old driver, police say they were both uncooperative. The sheriff's office says the video circulating on social media doesn't fully capture the passenger's initial actions. She was eventually arrested on several charges. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Packers getting ready for the Vikings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the Minnesota Vikings this Sunday at noon at Lambeau Field. At 2-4, are the Packers now just looking to help their younger players? Rookie tight end Tucker Kraft.
Me, as a rookie coming in here, playing considerable amount of reps, you know, every week my reps increase. I'm told you're not a rookie. You have a responsibility on the field.
College football, the Badgers hope to hand the Ohio State Buckeyes a loss this Saturday. Wisconsin head coach Luke Fickell says it's going to take discipline to beat the number 3 ranked Buckeyes.
Discipline is a gift, and so everything that we do within the program has to do with discipline. So it's not something that's just taught. You know, over time continues to grow. It's a skill.
NBA, the Bucks host the 76ers tomorrow night at 6:30. It's the season opener for both teams. Giannis asks, is signing his contract extension lifted the mood around the place?
It was very helpful. The Bucks are great. How the Bucks suck. That's what you guys talk about, you know.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight, otherwise cloudy skies. Lows level off around 59. Southerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow, highs around 66. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 61 degrees.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. You know, at the core of a lot of things we've been talking about is the freedom of the press. Quite frankly, the thing that saved our democracy, and there are several things, but one of the main things was the freedom of the press in 2016 and 2020 throughout Trump's presidency. The big newspaper, New York Times, Washington Post, Chicago Tribune, LA Times, all of the newspapers in the country, and the electronic media, the networks. Yeah, you had Fox on one side, but you had the ABC, NBC, CBS, you had MSNBC, and so on. And people could speak without fear of violence through the media. And that informed everybody. And that's not true in 90% of the world. And the alarming thing, I want to tell you about an article that was just written in a study about how that's under attack even now in our own country. The University of Missouri School of Journalism is considered one of the best, if not the best in the country. Columbia is highly regarded, but Missouri, I've met a lot of journalists who study at the University of Missouri School of Journalism. I represented the Hearst Corporation, WSN-TV and radio in Milwaukee when they were owned by Hearst, when radio was, and their magazines, Motor Magazine, Avon, their book imprint. I have a very high regard for the press. They're excellent people. But here is what is happening. The Lee Hills chair of one of their schools down there put out the following information under the headline, really, the press is under attack in the US. And some of this started with Trump in 2016 when he would say that the press is the enemy of the people. Remember that? Or he would encourage people in the audience to beat up protesters, so he'd pay their legal fees, and then he would point to press people there and say, that's the enemy. Katie Tur, she's one of the people from MSNBC, T-U-R is the last name. She's a good journalist. And she was up there, and just, you know, she had a cameraman there. She was reporting from one of his rallies, and she needed security to go to her car. She needed security to go to her car because Trump had said she was an enemy of the people. Well, here are some recent occurrences and some occurrences internationally that'll put it in perspective. The governor of Nebraska is a Republican named James Pidden, or Pillen, James Pillen. And he was asked to respond to a story in the Flatwater Free Press. Now look, Nebraska's not a big state and there are a lot of small towns, but the Flatwater Free Press is by no means the enemy of the people. I'm very glad they're, I know nothing about them, but I'm glad they're in business because small town newspapers are very tough. The article was by a graduate of the University of Missouri, a woman with a Chinese name named Yanxi Xu. And the spelling of it is Yanqi and the next O. She was born in China. Her parents came to this country. And then she went to the University of Missouri. She wanted to be a journalist. So she got a job at the Flatwater Free Press in Nebraska. She was very good. She did a lot of research and she found out that the governor, Pillen, his family, had a huge farm operation here, a hog operation. In Wisconsin, we call them CAFOs, concentrated animal feeding operations. You know, you may have 5 or 10,000 cows. Up in Kewaunee County, they have that, and people can't really drink the water as a result. Somebody proposed a 50,000 hog farm CAFO up near Bayfield. If you've ever been up there, it's beautiful, right in Lake Superior. But 50,000 hogs, you know, come on. It may have been beaten, I don't know, but that's what we're talking about here. This guy had apparently a CAFO, and he's the governor. She did a research, and she found out that the groundwater around his family's hog farm, his CAFO, had a very high level of nitrates in it, which is a pollutant, and the groundwater. And so she just wrote an article. She said, in the groundwater near the governor's family's hog farm, there are a lot of nitrates in the groundwater. That's all she said. It was true. It was true. Their equivalent of the Department of Natural Resources, the EPA, said they're nitrates, because when you have that many hogs, they have to go to the bathroom, and that ends up in the groundwater. You know what the governor said? This is his, they asked him this at a press conference. What is your response? Here's what he said, quote, quote, all you got to do is look at this author's name. She is from communist China, end quote. So I said, and everybody, you know, clapped. They're great. But they're still drinking contaminated water. They don't care. They don't care. This person did a great service. All you got to do is look at this author. She is from communist China. What more do you need to know? He put on the end. What more do you need to know? This is in Nebraska. Let me tell you something. Pre-Trump, I don't think a governor, even a bad governor of most states, would have said something like that. In Russia, Putin has thrown in jail two reporters and called them spies. One of his name is Evan Gerskovich. He's a Wall Street Journal reporter. The other one is named Alsu Kurmasheva, and she is a reporter for Radio Free Europe. And they're both in prison over there. And it's a minimum of 5 years. But what he's done before is say 5 years, and then about a year into it, when people aren't paying attention, they'll have another hearing, and it's 10 years or 30 years. I mean, I'll be honest with you. If I were a journalist and they said, why don't you go to Moscow and report? I'd think twice, quite frankly, because that is an enemy country. You will end up in jail as a, quote, spy, end quote, if you write anything that he does not like. In Niger, because Rand Paul wouldn't let us confirm, one guy wouldn't let us confirm an ambassador to Niger. There was a coup. We had very little influence on it, Islamic coup. They kicked out the president. They started to fly Russian flags from their buildings rather than American flags, because the previous guy had been very favorable to us. And they now have accused and arrested a journalist named Samara Saban for treason, because she thought the coup was a bad idea. And she thought the previous president had done a good job. Now she's going to go in Niger. Would you like to be in a prison in Niger for treason? In Guatemala, there's a guy named Jose Ruben Zamora. He's the publisher of a leading newspaper. He's been jailed by the regime. In Guatemala, in the Philippines, the former president is a guy named Rodrigo Duterte. And he attacked online and in court a very distinguished journalist named Maria Ressa. And people were so outraged, not only in the Philippines, but frankly in the West, and they're very concerned about her safety, that they awarded her the Nobel Prize for Peace. Sometimes when you do that, you insulate someone who's under attack and severe danger in authoritarian culture, because they don't want the publicity of jailing a Nobel Prize winner. And that's what they did. In Mexico, cartels routinely kill journalists. Frequently, the government of Mexico is corrupt. It's a narco state down there. And Mexico now is considered, if you'll believe this, the most dangerous country in the world, most dangerous country in the world for journalists to do their craft. Mexico, we have a border with Mexico. That's not in Africa. That's not in Asia. This is starting to creep into the United States. Not just Trump's remarks. When somebody says somebody's the enemy of the people, that's an invitation to violence against them, because not everybody is nuanced, and there are going to be 18 to 25-year-old kids and guys out there who don't have a great life and who have violent propensities. And if the supreme leader fingers somebody as an enemy, that is going to end up in violence. But there's another kind of violence being done, and that's legally and judicially. The thing that keeps us safest in this country, our press safest, because if the press is free, we are safe, is a New York Times versus Sullivan Supreme Court opinion, 1964. In that opinion, the state of Alabama had gone after a sheriff down the state of Alabama named Sullivan, sued the New York Times for libel for enormous damages. And if you get a successful libel suit against a newspaper, you drive it out of business. This is happening up in the Wausau area here, where a state senator, a Republican, apparently at a meeting, had used a homophobic slur against a 13-year-old kid. There were witnesses, and he admitted in deposition he'd done it before. So the judge threw it out. Then he appealed. Why? Because the editor of the newspaper said, we're a real small paper. We just spent $250,000 on legal fees. We can't afford this. We can't afford the appeal. On the air, in a previous show, I've handled cases like that, and I gave the following advice. Have the judge order the plaintiff to pay the legal fees of the people he sued and to pay their fees on appeal. And when I had that happen down here, and this happened in Waukesha, I asked the judge to order the plaintiff that did this, these frivolous defamation actions, to never file another defamation action again or any action again against the defendant unless they cleared it with the judge. So in other words, if they wanted to pull this again, they couldn't file it in court and make the other side respond. They had to send it to the judge's chambers. He would read it. And unless he thought, well, something's different here, yeah, they can go ahead and do it, they couldn't even file the case. I won that case on that basis. But in New York Times versus Sullivan, the New York Times has simply put in a story that said that law enforcement in that general area had been acting badly towards civil rights workers. So a sheriff who wasn't named in the article sued the New York Times and got a big judgment in an Alabama state court that went to the U.S. Supreme Court. U.S. Supreme Court, 9-0 in New York Times versus Sullivan, said no. If you sue the press, an organ of the press, even if what you write is incorrect, is false, that still doesn't win it for the plaintiff. He's got to prove it was done with actual malice, which isn't what you think. It doesn't mean malicious, you didn't like the guy. In law, actual malice means that you did it knowing it was false, but did it anyway. And no reputable journalist does that. He has sources. This guy in Wausau was at some sort of meeting, used a slur against a 13-year-old boy. There were witnesses, and then they published it. That's it. That's good. They didn't do it with actual malice. And it turns out to be true as well. So I want to put this on everybody's radar. This is not just Trump saying enemy of the people. On the Supreme Court, Clarence Thomas, Alito, and Gorsuch have all said they want to overrule New York Times versus Sullivan. If that happens, billionaires, right-wing billionaires, will sue every newspaper in the country. They have unlimited money and drive them out of business. Keep that in mind. So the next time you talk about the press and all that, be very grateful for the press, because that's one of the reasons, one of the big reasons that you are free. Going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
I got just one life in a world that keeps on pushing me around, but I stand my ground and I won't back down. Hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out. Hey.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school. Enjoy Country Hearth and Village Hearth all-natural breads, buns, bagels, and more, then save the UPC from the package for your school to collect and redeem. Each is worth 5 cents and can be used for books, computers, sports, music, whatever your school needs, up to $10,000 a year. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Don't let me down. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, there is a documentary in the works that's going to come out later this year, or maybe early next year, that Jim Jordan is not going to like. And the reason I bring it up, I'm going to describe it. And the reason he's not going to like it is because it'll show very, very clearly what he covered up in the Ohio State wrestling room. And why do I bring it up at all? He was beating the speaker. What the heck? I don't think he belongs in the Congress, quite frankly. In other words, yes, he's from a conservative district. Why isn't there some kind of Republican down there who runs against him in a primary? And says enough's enough. Yeah, he was Trump's guy and all this kind of thing. Didn't do him any good. But here's the documentary. First of all, it's being produced by George Clooney, so it's going to get some attention. Secondly, it's a documentary on the Ohio State University sex abuse scandal on their wrestling team. There was a team doctor named Richard Strauss who abused boys who were wrestling, and he had access to them starting in 1979. He died, I think, 2005. So the whole time he was there, I don't know when he retired, but here's what it is. It's very much in the works. They've done many, many interviews with these wrestlers, and these wrestlers showed a lot of guts because this is not obviously a pleasant thing, but they've come forward. Several of them came forward when Gymnasium Jim G.Y.M. Jordan was up for speaker and said he's not fit to be speaker. And that got some publicity. And quite frankly, that may have been one of the things that sunk him, because 25 Republicans said they wouldn't vote for him. And then when it was in a private ballot, 116 said they wouldn't vote for him, because not because they're all that highfalutin on this stuff, but because they've already had Dennis Hastert. They didn't want that as baggage going into the next elections. Jim Jordan was an assistant coach there from 1986 to 1994. That's 8 years. And he's being sued in a lawsuit for not informing people. He's a mandatory reporter. I mean, you can't tell me that a teacher is, but the school nurse or the wrestling coach isn't, okay? I mean, they're all mandatory reporters. He kept mum. Is the allegation in the lawsuit. He kept mum. He didn't do anything to stop it, and he didn't do anything to report on it. Now, you probably know this, but believe it or not, he wrestled at UW-Madison. He's a University of Wisconsin grad. He wrestled. He's not a big guy, so it was like in the 130s. I forget what weight they had back then, maybe 139, whatever. I think he won the NCAAs in his weight class. He's a guy who knows how to wrestle. But he didn't do anything about it, and then he lied about it. When he was confronted, he said he didn't know anything about it. These wrestlers said, these were kids, you know, they said everybody knew everything about it. It started in 1979, and it went after he left, too, after Jordan left. I think that the Democratic Party should be a lot more aggressive. And there are people on the other side that have such terrible things in their background and their resumes. You know, Marjorie Taylor Greene, you have Lauren Boebert, you have Paul Gosar, Matt Gaetz. Why are there not Republicans in those districts running against them in primaries? You may not be able to beat them with a Democrat with all the gerrymandering, but for Pete's sake, I mean, and it can be a conservative Republican. It can be a conservative Republican. But as things now stand, Jordan's going to be in there. The one thing Trump can do, Trump is very capable of vetoing people, of knifing them. Remember, he said he killed Emmer. He killed Emmer. He's not very good about putting his, up until now with Mike Johnson, up until now, he's not been very good about putting people over the line. With Johnson, we'll see. The jury's out. I'm not at all pleased that he's in there. We hope for the best. We'll see what happens. Finally, I want to talk, we haven't talked about this in a long time. I want to talk about Ukraine. The magnificent people of Ukraine, a country of 45 million, about the size of Texas, fighting a country with nuclear weapons of 145 million. Russia has 100 million more people in Ukraine, and it covers 11 time zones. It's the biggest country by landmass in the world. Canada's second. Russia's first. 11 time zones. Listen, New York to LA is 3 time zones. If you add on Hawaii, it's a few more time zones. It ain't 11 time zones. It's not 11 time zones. And Ukraine is beating them to a standstill. Russia just launched another savage tank attack and lost. Joe Biden gave them ATACMs. These are these long-range missiles. That way, Zelensky's people can sit 100 miles from Crimea and hit the Russian fleet. ATACMs have a range of 180 miles. So why are these only 100 miles? Because Biden decided, and he may be right, that he didn't want the war to go into Russia, so they engineered him down to 100. I think he should give them the full 180. Not because they're going to hit into Russia, into Moscow and St. Petersburg, but because then they can sit even farther back in Ukraine and hit Russian forces throughout eastern Ukraine, the occupiers. Zelensky's a magnificent individual. He is the glue that's kept all the morale together in Ukraine. They deserve our support. If this Mike Johnson turns out to be a slippery little brown nose to Trump, because Trump is being blackmailed by Russia, then Hakeem Jeffries has to file a discharge petition, get 5 or 6 Republicans who are pro-Ukraine, and get them the aid they need. We come to the end of the show. Great show as always. Great caller as always. Stand by for another great show. Diamond Crute, Devil's Advocate, Matt Flynn, director. Back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.
Great stuff, Matt. How do you feel? Sounds good. See you tomorrow.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Get a family-supporting job in the water industry with great pay. There's a career fair October 26th from 3 until 6 p.m. at Mitchell Street Arts in Milwaukee. For details, go to onewateourwater.com. That's onewateourwater.com.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.